This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, I'll guide you home with my lighthouse.
Welcome to Lighthouse of Hope. I'm your host, Michael Hempseed. I'm so glad you're joining us today. On today's show, we're going to be looking at sleep. It's probably an appropriate topic because as the change with daylight saving happens, a lot of people feel very sleepy. So what we know is that more and more people are getting less and less sleep today. It's estimated that a third of all Americans are chronically sleep deprived. So that means that they don't just lose one night's sleep, they have multiple nights where they get less than the sleep they need. On average, an adult human being needs about 8 hours sleep. Now, there is some variation in this. Some people do need a bit less, some people do need a bit more. There were some rare people like Winston Churchill who apparently could cope with a few hours sleep per night, but on average, we need about 8 hours sleep. And more studies are finding that we're getting less and less. And almost a third of Americans get about 5 hours or less sleep per night, so significantly less than they need. And when it comes to sleep loss, we often think, oh, just harden up and just get over it, it's not that important. Well, what scientists are discovering is that sleep is incredibly important to our well-being. In the past, lack of sleep was actually used as a form of torture, believe it or not. That's how serious lack of sleep was. And today, unfortunately, we just treat lack of sleep as something pretty casual. We don't really give it a second thought a lot of the time. But in the past, it was used as a form of torture because of the devastating consequences of it. So we need to start taking sleep much more seriously. So first of all, let's have a look at some of the impacts that not getting a good night's sleep will have on you. Well, we all know that if you don't have a good night's sleep, you find it harder to concentrate and you feel a bit grumpy. But researchers are starting to find some of the reasons for this. First of all, researchers have found that if you haven't had a good night's sleep the night before, and you see a neutral or an expressionless face, you are more likely to see that as an angry face. So lack of sleep actually changes the way that you see the world. And I want you to imagine that if you walk down the street and you see that everyone is angry at you, well, how does that make you feel? Well, that's probably not going to put you in the best mood yourself, and that might be one of the reasons that people can become a bit grumpy or moody if they haven't had a good night's sleep. So we now know that lack of sleep significantly changes the way that you interact with the world and how you see things. But that's just one of the consequences that we've discovered. We've discovered that if you don't get a good night's sleep, you're more likely to put on weight. And researchers had known this for a while, but it took them quite a while to figure out actually what was the cause of this. Well, basically in your brain, you've got this chemical, after you eat a meal, it tells you that you're full. So for example, if I had a 3-course meal and I wasn't sleep deprived, this chemical in my brain would tell me, Michael, you've had enough to eat now, it's time to stop. And what researchers have found is that when people are sleep deprived, that chemical doesn't activate. So people continuously feel hungry. So someone that is sleep deprived could eat a full meal, which would normally make them feel full, but then they don't get that signal to stop eating, so they keep eating because they still feel hungry. And so people can eat and eat and not realise that they've had enough. And so that's one of the reasons that when people are sleep deprived, they can put on weight. We've discovered that sleep affects your ability to concentrate and remember things. I'm sure we'll all have had the memory of sitting in front of a computer if we're really tired, and it just feels like we can't focus on the words, you can't see what's happening, you might read the same passage over and over again, and just doesn't seem to make sense. Well, there's a few reasons for this. One big reason is that there's 8 stages of sleep, and the last stage of sleep seems to be particularly important. We call that REM, or rapid eye movement. And when people have REM, that's when they encode all their memories from the previous day. And what it seems to happen is that if you're having difficulty concentrating when you're sleep deprived, unfortunately you haven't had that chance to encode all the memories from the previous day, and it makes it harder to think. We know that in terms of tiredness, Fatigue is one of the big causes of workplace accidents. It's probably the leading cause of workplace accidents or possibly stress. There's a bit of a debate about which one's bigger. But tiredness causes a significant number of workplace accidents. And that's often because we're less alert, we pay less attention, and sometimes we're not as careful as we should be. So as I'm going through all this, you're starting to see just how much of an impact sleep does have on people. It is absolutely massive. But it doesn't just end there, there's lots of other things that sleep deprivation can do to you. One of the interesting things that scientists have found is that if you don't get a good night's sleep, you're more likely to feel anxiety the following day. So you're more likely to be on edge, you're more likely to be fearful. And we know that we have skyrocketing rates of mental illness, and particularly anxiety. And I would look at sleep deprivation as one of the leading causes of this. When we talk about the increasing rates of anxiety, we don't often talk about sleep. But sleep is so important, and the fact that many people are losing sleep seems to be a significant factor in this. So as I'm going through, we're starting to see just how important sleep is. It's not something that should just be avoided. We need to really remember how important this is. But wait, there's more. This is not one of those annoying infomercials on TV. In a really interesting study that just came out in 2018, two researchers found that if people haven't had a good night's sleep, you are more likely to feel intensely lonely. So just think about that for a moment. We know from research that loneliness causes massive problems in our world. Researchers are starting to think that loneliness could be the biggest killer in the world. It's possibly not cancer or heart attacks, but loneliness plays such a role. And if people don't get a good night's sleep and they're more likely to feel lonely, that becomes a significant problem. So I cannot stress this enough, we need to take sleep very, very seriously. Now, so far I've only talked about adults, but there's a lot of things that happen with teenagers. So I often ask people, if you had the choice between taming a wild lion or trying to get a teenager out of bed early in the morning, what would you prefer? And most people choose the safest option, which would be taming a wild lion, because teenagers seem to be incredibly difficult to get out of bed. And a lot of people think that they might be defiant, or they're just doing this deliberately, or they're just lazy. Well, researchers have found there are significant changes that happen in the teenage brain. We've found that adults tend to think with the more intelligent part of their brain, and teenagers tend to think with the emotional part of their brain. Now, some people misunderstand this research and say that teenagers don't think. That is completely wrong. They can think, but they find it harder than a lot of adults. So there are significant changes that happen in the teenage brain. Lots and lots of different things happen. We know that teenagers have less GABA in their brains. GABA is a chemical that helps people relax. It stands for gamma-aminobutyric acid. Try saying that 10 times really quickly. If I ever get to name one of these chemicals, I'm just going to call it the relaxing chemical or something like that. So if teenagers have less GABA in their brains, what does that mean? Well, it means that they find it harder to calm down if they get upset or angry. And with some of the things that I've just talked about in terms of sleep loss, an inability to calm down, or for people the ability is reduced, it makes it much harder to calm down after they've become angry. And if you add sleep loss on top of that, it becomes even harder. But there's a couple of interesting things that we've found with teenagers and sleep. When the human brain is ready to go to sleep, it produces melatonin. Melatonin is the chemical that basically tells your body it's time to shut down now, it's time to go to sleep. And researchers have found that teenagers produce this on average 2 hours later than adults do. Believe it or not, it's not just human teenagers. Researchers have found that almost all creatures that have a period of adolescence produce melatonin much later than adults do. So teenagers naturally want to go to sleep later. They're not being defiant. I want you to imagine that if you had an adult that was well rested, they weren't sleep deprived, and you said, I want you to sleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, they wouldn't actually be able to do it in most cases. And that's because their brain hasn't produced that melatonin just yet. Well, it's often the same with teenagers. If we put teenagers to bed too early, they're not being defiant if they want to stay up late. Their brains actually aren't ready to shut down. So probably most teenagers want to sleep at 11, 12 or 1 o'clock at night. That's naturally when their bodies want to sleep. Now the problem with this is that if we let them go to bed later, or if they can't actually sleep later, when they wake up, things start to go wrong. We often wake teenagers up far too early. We wake them up at 6 or 7 o'clock for school. And they're often very tired and they seem incredibly moody. Well, they're not being defiant, they haven't had the vital sleep that they need. I said before that adults need about 8 hours, whereas teenagers need between 8 and 10 hours. So they actually need more sleep than adults. And unfortunately, what we often do is we stuff up this most important cycle of sleep. The last one, REM, that I talked about, rapid eye movement. We wake most teenagers up not in the middle of REM, but well before they get to it. So the most vital part of sleep, we deprive from them. So this causes a whole lot of problems because we have chronically tired teenagers. Now really interestingly, in Christchurch after the earthquakes, we found that there were some schools that had to split sites. Some start in the morning and some start in the afternoon. And you would expect that the students had been through such massive trauma, massive disruption and massive change that all of them would perform pretty badly. Yet what they found was that the students that started in the afternoon, they performed significantly better than the students that started in the morning. And that's remarkable when you consider what they'd been through, but that shows how vitally important sleep is. Another really interesting study found that teenagers that had good sleep were 16.5% less likely to be involved in a car crash than those that were sleep deprived. So we know lack of sleep has a massive, massive impact on people's well-being. Final negative effect that I want to talk about with sleep before we go on to some things that can actually be done about this is suicide. When we talk about suicide, we often talk about just depression. But researchers have found that sleep in and of itself, and particularly lack of sleep, sleep disruption, or significant changes in the sleeping cycle, can contribute to suicide. Now some people said, oh, we know this, this is just another symptom of depression. But two Japanese researchers found that actually lack of sleep was associated independently of suicide. So it's not just the result of depression. So we need to be able to look at sleep in terms of suicide prevention. And the good news is that although I've just talked about a whole lot of negative effects of sleep deprivation, in most cases there's actually quite a lot that can be done about this. I've met so many people that have told me, oh, I can just never get a good night's sleep. Since I was a child, I've always had trouble sleeping. I've always stay awake till 2, 3 in the morning. I just can't sleep. And then I ask, well, have you ever done something about this? And they say, oh, no. So some people will have tried and tried, but in most cases, actually, there's things that we can do to improve our sleep. Generally speaking, sleep problems are not inevitable, and in most cases, they can at least be improved, if not cured. So if you are having sleep problems, one of the first and simplest things that you can do is go and see a doctor. A lot of people don't think that a doctor can necessarily help with sleep problems, but they certainly can. And some people are too embarrassed to go to a doctor because they think, oh, you know, it's not actually that important. Well, with all the things that I've just talked about, actually it is extremely important. And you owe it to yourself to try and get a good night's sleep. So you don't just have to go to a doctor if you've got the cold or something like that. It can be for sleep as well. So one of the first things that I'd recommend if you are having trouble sleeping and things aren't going very well, go and visit your GP. There's lots of different things that they can recommend. Did you know that counselling can be quite helpful for lack of sleep? There can be many reasons for this. And people think, well, I don't need a counsellor. But sometimes when people go to sleep, or try to go to sleep, they don't sleep at all. They start to think and think and think. And they'll think over everything that's happened during the day. They'll remember that thing they forgot to do at work. And just when they're about to sleep, they'll turn on their computer. And so what we find is that sometimes when people go to bed, actually they're not resting at all, they're thinking more than they often did during the day. And so in some cases a counsellor can actually help with some of those thoughts. A counsellor can actually address some of those situations and give people strategies and different ideas and ways to overcome this. This could also possibly be a sign of something else, anxiety, and that's one of the symptoms of that is where people have racing thoughts. So don't be afraid to go and see a doctor if you think that your sleep is disruptive and things aren't particularly helpful. Sometimes doctors will prescribe medication, and you know, sometimes people have a few hang-ups about medication, but with all the negative things I talked about at the start of the show, if some medication could help you, I think it's worth a shot. You know, you don't have to take it forever, but maybe try it for a few nights. If it does help, maybe consider that. And sometimes, actually, people don't need long-term medication. Sometimes they need to take some sleeping pills or something for a week, and then that sort of resets their sleep cycle. I think often one of the problems with sleep loss is that it can either have happened for people for such a long period of time they can't remember what a good night's sleep is, or it happens slowly over time, you know, over time they get to sleep 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, and it creeps up on people very slowly that they don't realise how poor their sleep is until someone points it out. So this is where a doctor or a counsellor can possibly help with this. Sleep is so important, and there's often really simple things that can be done. The next thing is that we know that blue lights tend to disrupt melatonin production and they delay it. And unfortunately, in the modern world, we've got this obsession with blue lights. And unfortunately, any screen that you look at, be it the screen on your phone, a computer, or anything like that, effectively displays blue light. So even though if you see it as a white screen, your brain will actually see it differently to how the eye might see it, and you often see that as blue light. And unfortunately, blue light says to you, it's time to wake up now. So I want you to imagine that you go to bed at about 1 o'clock at night, and you're about to go to sleep, and then suddenly you remember you've got that work email, and you go to check for anything, oh, it'll just be a couple of minutes, you look at it, but what you're actually doing is you're telling your brain, oh, it's not time to produce melatonin now, it's time to wake up. There's several theories around that. One of the simplest is that when we wake up in the morning and we see blue sky, that's a sign that we need to wake up. So possibly you're telling your brain, the sun has risen, it's morning, and when you're actually trying to go to sleep. Researchers have also found that a dark room, and I know this sounds quite obvious, but a dark room improves sleep. And unfortunately, we've got too many modern devices that like to have cool lights on them, or lights to tell you that they're on, or things like this, and there's no way to turn them off. So one really simple thing that you can do is get some black duct tape and go around and cover up all these lights that are in your room. Researchers have found even quite small quantities of light can disrupt people's sleeping ability. So where possible, I highly recommend you go around and try and stop things like this. Another thing that sounds, again, very obvious, but a lot of people just put up with it, is a lot of noise in their room. A lot of people find that if their room is really noisy, it's difficult to get to sleep, unsurprisingly. So sometimes thinking, you know, is there anything that we can actually do to try and reduce the noise in our house? You know, there's a lot of devices that can be very noisy, you know, some air conditioners, things like that. So really consider, you know, is there anything that's actually keeping me awake at night, making it very difficult to get some sleep? Sometimes it could be as simple as, you know, nailing down a bit of iron on the roof so that it doesn't bang in the night, or things like that. Finally, something that people have found all over the world that's incredibly helpful in terms of getting a good night's sleep is meditation. Meditation helps you breathe, and that chemical that I talked about before, GABA, the one that makes you alert, the one that calms you down after you've been alert, fearful, or angry, researchers have found that when you breathe out, you naturally produce GABA. And so simply learning how to breathe out and focus on your breathing can help you produce that chemical that will calm you down. And of course, we all know that you can't get a good night's sleep if you're wide awake and alert. So learning how to meditate or some simple breathing techniques can be incredibly helpful. And people say, oh, but I know how to breathe. I've been doing it since the day I was alive. Well, yes, well, if you're still alive, you've probably been doing it since the day you were born. But a lot of people actually forget how to breathe. And particularly if you go to bed late at night and you suddenly find yourself thinking, oh, I should have done that at work. Oh, I forgot to do this. I need to do this. You're actually becoming very agitated and sometimes very anxious. There's some fantastic apps or YouTube videos that can teach you how to do this. One really great website is smilingmind.com.au. That's smilingmind.com.au. That's completely free and it can teach you some really simple techniques that can make a huge difference. So fundamentally what I'm saying is that sleep is a massive issue, particularly sleep loss. And it's not enough just to accept that this is a normal part of life. There are so many things that can be done to improve your sleep. So you owe it to yourself to really try and make good sleep a priority. If you make good sleep a priority, you'll feel so much better, you'll have so much more energy, and the world will seem like a much more exciting place. That's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa.